Amen. Turn with me to 2 Kings, if you would, please. We're just going to read a few verses out of 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. We've been covering a series called Major Events and People of the Bible. And we talked about Saul. We talked about David. We talked about Solomon. Then we had a couple of missionaries. And we haven't been back on to this study for a few weeks. But now we're talking about the kings of a divided kingdom. When you read the scriptures, you have to agree with what was written in the word by Solomon when he says, there's nothing new under the sun. It's all the same. People are sinners, and they've always been sinners, and there always will be sinners. And the way people respond, people act today is not any different than what they did thousands of years ago. And what we see is, from what we've been studying, is that the people were being guided by God himself. And they looked around them and saw the other nations and saw that they all had kings and they all had rulers and they all had a different type of government. And that's what they wanted, even though it's best to have God, number one, and controlling everything and doing everything. But they couldn't see that because they were just getting involved with the world too much. And so they asked for a king. And even afterwards, when Samuel mentioned to them what was going to happen, and they repented and said, "We sinned for asking a king, but we still want one." And so they gave him Saul. And Saul was a nightmare. He was exactly what the people wanted as a king, but not what God wanted. He didn't have the heart for God. He just wanted to please the people and be, known and popular and important and rich. Just like a lot of people today have those goals in mind. They don't really care about what the Lord wants in their life. They're more concerned with what they can get out of life. And then, so then he gets dethroned. They put David in there. It's a while before he becomes the king. He becomes a king. He has battle after battle after battle. And as long as they're not sinning, God's on their side and they're conquering and everything's going good. Even though they had a lot of war. And then when his son took over Solomon, they had that whole reign of his entire reign was all peace. They never had any battles. They had one little skirmish at the beginning, but that was it. And God took care of all that. And they had no other battles for the rest of the time that Solomon was king. But that doesn't mean Solomon was perfect. It just means he was believing in God and had the wisdom to follow God, though he was still a sinner. And he made some mistakes as well. But after the death of Solomon, then the kingdom was divided. They had 10 tribes that were formed on the northern kingdom, which was called Israel. And they had 2 tribes on the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. That was Judah and Benjamin. They were smaller tribes. Everybody else went the other way. And you have to study the story on why that even happened. And you'll figure it out when you start reading the scriptures that they had, people who were just looking out for themselves, and the next king was making decisions that was only good for him and not for the people, and they wanted some help and relief, and they said, "No, it's only going to get harder for you," and they wouldn't give in, so they were divided. But that was all God's direction anyway, because of the way the people were living, and he told them this was going to happen. And so the kingdom was divided, and we see in history that both kingdoms were eventually destroyed. The northern kingdom was destroyed in approximately 200 years later were taken by Assyrians. And then the southern kingdom, approximately 300 years, was taken by Babylon. And so both sides, the northern and southern kingdoms, both had evil kings and good kings. But when you study the scriptures, you'll find there's very, very few good kings in the 10 tribes in the northern side, and there are more good kings in the southern kingdom, But they still had good and evil kings. And they both did evil in the sight of the Lord. And all the evil and all the good had the same mistake in mind. Idolatry. When you go back and see what they did, you'll find out all of them is one thing in common. Idolatry. When they did evil in the sight of the Lord, the next sentences after that talk about idolatry. And this is one reason why God told the kings and other and all of us that we were not to have more than one wife. You have one wife, and you're not to take him from other kingdoms or people who are not of his children. And because Solomon had 1,000 wives, and they all came in with all their concubines and all their family and all their in-laws and everybody else, they brought all their traditions and all their idolatry into the land and started corrupting the entire land because of Solomon's sin. And the people of Israel were always that way, because even when you see way before that, of course, they're in Egypt for 400 years, and they're raised with seeing all the Egyptians and all the gods that they served and everything. And so God brings them out to worship him, brings them to the promised land. And they don't even make it a couple months into that trip before they're already making a molten calf and worshiping that golden calf and calling it the God that brought them out of Egypt and everything. And they just, people always had a hard time with idolatry. We find a real God, a true God. We know him, you know, personally, just like they did. They knew God, and they saw him fight the battles, and they saw how he fought with David, and they saw the miracles that God did for them, and they saw everything that God did, and yet they still had their hearts turned to idolatry. It's so easy for mankind to continue to turn away from God into whatever it is in this world today that we would rather spend time with and worship other than God, and that sin continues to remain. So there's four sins that we're going to look at real quick that cause their downfall and still today cause people's downfall. So look at 2 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse number 9. It says, "And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in their all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fence city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every tree. And they burnt incense in all high places, and did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols. Wherefore the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing." And he has told them that from day one, that, you know, they are only to serve him. And the first thing that we see is that the people are always going to forsake the worship of the true God. And even today, even though there's people that are home and that are not in churches where they could be listening to the word of God, there's something else that's their idol. They may not have a statue of something out in their home. Maybe they do. But they have always substituted worshiping the Lord for something else. And that's what they do here. They've taken their worship from the Almighty God that they know and have turned it to this idols and these groves and these images and anything else, just to replace worshiping God with something else. And today that sin still remains. People are still replacing the worship of God with something else. It doesn't change. And then we see in verses 13 and 14, it says, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by the servants of the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the necks of their fathers, and did not believe in the Lord their God." That still happens today. You still get people and preachers and churches that are still preaching God's word. They're still testifying of the Lord. They're still telling people what is right and what is wrong. And the people out there are going to hear what they want to hear, and they're going to turn away everything else that they don't want to hear. If they're either going to follow God or they're not going to follow God. And the people had prophets that were sent by God to tell them, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to live your life. This is right. This is wrong. This is the blessings you're going to get if you serve God and stay with God. This is what's going to happen if you don't. And we're still today have people and preachers that are preaching the truth and preaching the word and telling people, this is how you live your life. This is what you need to do. This is how you please God. This is how he's going to bless you. But if you turn your back on God, this is what's going to happen. And the people ignored the prophets of God, just like they ignore the preaching of God's word today. It doesn't change. The reason why people have forsaken God is because they've stopped worshiping God and they don't want to hear anything God has to say. They got their own interests in mind and they realize if they follow God in his way, they're going to have to give up something. They're going to have to stop doing something. They're going to have to change their life and they're not willing to do so. Because it's all about pleasing themselves and what they think is important. They forsook the worship of the Lord. They ignored the prophets of the Lord. And let's look at verses 15 and 16. And they rejected, it says, his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the brethren that were round about them. I mean, the heathen that round about them concerning of whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And it says in verse 16, and they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. Well, this doesn't sound like the children of God at all. But you can look around at people you know and people that you may have known in the past or people that you may have come across that say they're believers and say they're Christians, and their life just doesn't show that they're a child of God at all. And then what happened? They refused God's commandments. God showed them and gave them explicit instructions on how they're going to worship, when they're going to worship, and this is what you're supposed to do. And they violated all the commandments of God by turning their back on God, not listening to the prophets, doing what they want to do, following the heathen of the land and following the way they live instead of what God says for them to live. Now, why would anybody decide to do that as a child of God? Because they see the world just like we see it today, and they see people out in that world, and it seems like they got everything and we got nothing. Because again, we're looking at ourselves and thinking of what we got and say, well, everybody around me, they're after work, you know, they get to go out and they get to have drinks and they get to socialize and they get to party and they have a good time. It seems like they're always having a good time every weekend while I'm at home doing nothing. And they seem like they're having all the fun while I don't get any fun. They seem to be meeting everybody and having a good time and I don't meet anybody. And all of a sudden, their lifestyle and the way they're acting is more appealing to us, even though as children of God, we know better. But it's still too appealing. And they're willing to follow the heathen and the way they lived and how they worshiped and to forsake God completely and all his commandments that he told them because they wanted that lifestyle. And today you'll find believers and Christians who have turned their life around from God to the world because what they see out there is more appealing than what they're getting here. And it's all because of our attitude. If you come to church and you come to listen to God's word and you want to hear God speak to you and you want to change your life and you want to be more like Christ and you want to hear what he has for you today, if you want his blessings, if you want your day to go good, if you want to stay healthy, if you want to stay close to God, if you want him to bless you, if you want to be a personal servant of God, you have to stick with it and stay with God. But if you come to church because you're wanting to meet somebody or find a mate for yourself or to go, you know, and find a relationship or just, or to, because I know some people I've met before, they were realtors and so they picked a church. They always told realtors, pick a church that's a big church because you have more contacts. They wouldn't pick a church because that's where it preached the word of God. They're picking a church because they can increase their business by going to these bigger churches and meeting more contacts and having all the things. Yeah, some of these churches, they have a lot of stuff. And this seems really neat when you go in. It's like a mall. If you've never been in some of those big churches, they got it all in there, man. I like shopping in there. They got a Christian store. It's already got t-shirts and mugs and all kind of stuff. CDs for sale over there. Coffee over there. Pizza slices over there. All this stuff. All the fun stuff is in there. For my flesh. But I haven't been in one yet that haven't fed me spiritually. That's just me. Maybe they're getting fed. I wasn't. That's not for me. But what I'm saying is, these sins that the people committed divided the kingdoms and made it rough on them for many, many hundreds of years because they forsook the worship of God. They ignored the prophets of God. They violated the commandments of God. And then listen to those verses in 16 and 17. We read 16 already. So they left all the commandments of their God and made molten images, even two calves and a grove, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. They not only turned to worship idols, they were giving their children to the devil and burning them as sacrifices. Baal was a god of the devil. And they burned their own children. And then they turned to lewdness and wickedness by selling themselves. And that divination enchantments, that's just all witchcraft. They're doing all these spells and stuff. And you see people on TV and say, oh, it looks so cool that, you know, you get this Ouija board or you get this thing on, you know, Disney. They're really great sometimes on coming out with all this magic stuff because of what they do. And they promote it way too much sometimes. And a lot of those movies out there just teaching kids that, you know, maybe I can move things with my mind or maybe I can say some enchantment and put a spell on somebody that they'll love me or something. And they believe all that mess. And then when they find somebody that actually looks like it's working for them, they're going to turn. You know, when you read in Revelation, that's the same thing Satan does again in this world. He's coming into this world. He's going to have power for a short period of time. He's going to raise up that false prophet. He's going to raise up that beast. And they're going to do miracles in front of the people. And the people are going to think that only God can do those type of miracles. He must be God. And they're going to turn and run against God. The same sins that these people are doing now, the same sins we see today. Pagan customs. I mean, you could most of the holidays, all but one holiday in America has nothing to do with God. And the only one that might have anything to do with God is Thanksgiving. And that really wasn't because of God. Christmas is not about God, by the way. That's just, we can, as Christians, we try to change, you know, to do the best we can with the holidays we got to make it about the Lord. But that's not why we have those holidays. And the new ones that they're coming up with have nothing to do with God either. It's just about people. And our nation, just like all the other nations, even though our nation has been blessed, and I just believe it's because of the forefathers that came over here for the purpose of having the freedom to worship God, the true God. And because of their preaching and because of the circuit riding preachers and because of the gospel being sent out all over the land and the missionaries that are sent from America, even today, are the more missionaries than any other country. God has truly blessed America. But America is not blessing God. There's a lot that has just got into pagan customs. And we have to be careful that we don't adopt these into our own family. Now, it's great to have traditions. It's great to have things that your family does together. But it cannot incorporate pagan customs. at all. And if it even looks like it is, we shouldn't be doing it. Because just because you know it's not, doesn't mean your children know it's not. And they may grow up with a different tradition. And we got to teach our kids and our generations about the Lord God Almighty and who He is and why we worship Him and what great God we have, that they may worship that same God and know that God as they're going forward. You know, the people, the kingdoms were dethroned. The people were deported into another land. The temple was disgraced and destroyed. The city was destroyed. The land was desolate. All this happened to the whole area of the promised land that God gave to His people because of sin. Because they would not stay with God. And that happens to all of us all the time. If we stay in sin and we forsake God, things are going to get desolate in our life. Even though we meant that we're going to get more in life for ourselves by leaving God and doing something else, never works out that way for a child of God. Never does. How do you think God feels about sin today? The same. To God, sin is sin. It has never changed since Adam and Eve broke His word, disobeyed God, and were cast out into this world, and death followed it because we're all sinners. We all have to die now. That's how God treats sin. And as children of God, it doesn't mean that we're not going to sin, but it does mean that we have the opportunity to come back to God and not stay in sin. But if we stay in sin, God will bring upon us the things He brings upon this world because He wants us to repent. That was the whole reason why He brought that all to pass to Israel. They were sinners. And He was teaching them that they need to get back to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments and ask God to bless those things on our list tonight. Stand with me if you would, please, as we pray together. If you'd like to come to the altar and pray, you're welcome to do so. And we'll just pray for a few minutes and then we'll end and close in prayer just a minute.